Well, God bless you guys. We're thankful for our on-site worship that you guys got to experience this morning. And we're looking forward to watching our online campus kind of grow and experiment and hopefully keep meeting needs in your family's life. And just blessing you guys where you're at, whether you're attending our on-site campus or whether you're staying home right now. We want to continue pushing ministry and making that available to you guys. So we're going to pause right now, and we're going to go to our time of offering. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness, for trusting God, and for being a part of this community during our sort of growth and reemergence as whatever church we're going to be in our future context. God calls us to faithfulness and obedience during all of that. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate your responsiveness to his word. Father, we thank you for this chance to now pause. We don't give because there's a bill to be paid. We don't give because it's part of this earthly economy. We give because your word commands us to do that. And in return for that, you say, if we trust you in this, if we test you in this, that you'll give back to us blessings that can't even be contained. And so we trust that word from you, and we give in response to that promise, and we give in response to your call to obedience, because from obedience comes blessing and favor, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, let me start off with just wishing you dads happy Father's Day. We had an interesting Mother's Day and didn't get to really celebrate in person, and our on-site campus will be celebrating together and having Tres Hermanos burritos, breakfast burritos. And for you guys at home, maybe you can stick a burrito in the fridge and or in the microwave and do that with us this morning. But we want to wish our dads a happy Father's Day. You are unsung heroes. You are men of strength and men of faith and men of provision. And you deserve your family's appreciation and gratitude. And from all of us at Summit, we just want to let you know how much we appreciate you. And we don't get the opportunity probably to say that enough to our men on Father's Day or our moms on Mother's Day. You're all appreciated and valued. And you are the best pastors to your own home. And we want to tell you that we're proud of you leading your families in spiritual growth and maturity. So we're going to go even further into the Beatitudes. We're in the middle of a message series, actually starting to close up a message series pretty soon. I think maybe next week we'll be ending it with a message series called Like It or Not, that we find ourselves in circumstances and situations and moments and seasons in our life that we don't like. And we've heard our parents say it. We've heard our bosses say it. We've heard people say it to us that this is it, like it or not. And even this week, you know, we had a new order that we got to wear masks in public. And I just said, hey, we're going to have to do that, like it or not. If I want to go into Safeway or I want to go into Target, I want to go into a restaurant, I'm going to have to wear that mask, like it or not. So there are things that happen to us and things that happen around us and even things that are happening in us that are happening whether we like it or not. And I feel like that God does his best work in us when we are in uncomfortable moments and situations in our life. And so Jesus addresses all of those, or those types of things, I should say, in the Beatitudes, when he goes, hey, happy are you, excited you should be, and content you will be, and joyful you're going to be when you experience this really difficult thing that either happens outside of you or happens from within inside of you. In the last couple of weeks, we've been actually kind of shifting to things that need to be generated inside of us. They're not necessarily things that happen outside of us. Today is kind of a combo between those two. And let me read that passage and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. God blesses. This is Matthew 5:9. It's going to be in your notes if you have those online. You can, of course, find it in your Bible. Matthew 5:9 says, God blesses those who work for peace. Older translations will say, blessed are the peacemakers. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. So I'm going to read it one more time, but I'm going to read it out of the Message translation. It says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. So a peacemaker is somebody who's not necessarily just at peace themselves or believes in peace or advocates for peace. And we're going to talk a little bit about what peace looks like, but somebody that actually puts in the work to bring peace, to implement peace, to spread peace. And I know it's going to be tough for you and I, especially those of us who are a little bit older, to detach ourselves from that kind of hippie mentality of peace, but really hear what God is trying to get into us and get through us with the concept of peace. But it's going to be work. And that's kind of the difficulty that you and I have in our faith walk, is we really love a kind of faith where God does all the heavy lifting, where God goes, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to do this for you and I'm going to give to you. And we just go, oh, just lay it on, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's kind of like when we were kids and our parents provided everything for us. You know, when you're a baby, your parents carry you everywhere. They feed you, they burp you, they change you. They put you to sleep. They get you, they take care of every single responsibility. And then the more we grow up and we have to become more independent, the more we sort of resent that those things aren't still being done for us. And we kind of want that and we kind of like that, or we like all the benefits of being independent, but none of the responsibilities of being independent. If you've had teenagers, you know what that looks like. So it's going to be work. Spiritual growth is work. All my work towards peace will pay off. So my kids all work. Carson, our 17-year-old, has a job. He's on our church setup team, actually. Cole, he works full-time at Dutch Brothers. Caleb, he works for K-Love Air One. They all work. And you know what they love about their work? They love getting paid. And I'm assuming that's you and I, too. When we work, we want to see reward for that. And there is good news that you inherit something, you get something when you work for peace. So as long, all my work towards peace will pay off as long as I remind myself that, number one, I can't give away what I don't have. I can't give away what I don't have. So Lisa and I were out this week. We were doing some running around. And we both wanted a soda. We were super thirsty. And sometimes on a hot summer day, I like a good Diet Coke out of a machine, right? So we stopped at this convenience store that was attached to a gas station. And as we pulled in, I actually saw this homeless guy. It was in Roseville where we were at. And I saw this homeless guy who I actually see a lot in Lincoln. I actually had bought him Taco Bell before in Lincoln. And I see him and I go, oh, I know that guy. So I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to buy him something to eat. It was about lunchtime. And so we run inside, we get our sodas, and I buy him a sandwich from the refrigerator. I get him a bag of Doritos. I get him a big old Pepsi in a bottle, and I buy him some fresh cookies they had right up there at the counter. So I buy all that, put it in a big brown bag, and we go outside and we drive back to where he's at the entrance of this plaza. And I get out of the truck. Lisa stays in the truck. I walk over and I say, hey, man, I got some food for you. And this has never happened to me before. He goes, oh, no, thanks. I said, no. And he goes, no, I'm super full. I just had a big meal. I actually still have some food. I couldn't eat another bite. And I was like, I was kind of stunned, honestly. I was kind of dumbfounded. I was caught off guard. I never had like been turned down when buying somebody food before. And so he was like, oh no, thank you though. And so I turned around and I walked back to the truck and I had this bag in my hand still. And I got in the truck and Lisa just starts laughing and she goes, well, that didn't go like you thought it was going to go. And I was like, no. Now here's the deal. The guy was clearly full. I saw he had a full drink there. He had some food sitting to the side of him. I don't think he was lying to me. Clearly, he was full, and he was full in that moment. But I thought, I think his error is not anticipating that he's not always going to be full. I don't know that he saw far enough into the future to realize that there, 3 or 4 hours from then, he was going to be hungry again. And maybe it wasn't such a good idea to pass up on the extra food, or possibly he'd run into somebody who didn't have food and he would now have food and he was already full, but he could give that away. I kind of analyzed all that when I was like, what a clown. The guy doesn't want my food. I was kind of like offended, like hurt by the fact the guy didn't want my food. But the reality is that you and I do that all the time. And the fact that God doesn't want to just fill us in our time of need. God doesn't want just to take care of our need when we're hungry or we're empty of peace or mercy or grace or whatever it happens to be in our life. That God wants to give us something to overflowing so that it actually spills out over the people around us. Listen to what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord himself, the Lord of peace. It's interesting that the Bible identifies Jesus as the Lord of peace. He is, it's part of his title. It's his identity that this is something that's important to him. May the Lord of peace pour into you his peace in every circumstance, in every possible way, the Lord's tangible presence be with you all. It's so important for us to understand peace that the prayer of Scripture over us, that the prayer of Paul the Apostle over his church was that Jesus is the Lord of bringing peace into life, settled conflict, peace, resolved certainty in our circumstance, resolved certainty in our lives, that God is so passionate about wanting that to happen, that he wants to bring peace in every single moment and every single circumstance, which means you and I probably underestimate the value of peace in our life. Secondly is this, all my work towards peace will pay off as long as I remind myself that number two, I can't find what I'm not looking for. So anytime we kind of talk about these spiritual truths and growing in maturity and health in Christ, we kind of walk out of a service or walk out of a moment like this and we think, all I need to really do is just kind of wait for these moments to happen. I just need to be just kind of wait for it and then I'll know how to respond. But instead of that, what we kind of find actually happens is the exact opposite. In other words, if we're waiting for this great spiritual moment to happen, that great spiritual moment almost never happens. What ends up happening is some really fleshy moment that we just get sidetracked and we get upset and we get distracted and we feel completely defeated. And here's why. Because everything that is in your self-interest and that feeds your personal ambition, everything that feeds your flesh, that is amply available. You don't have to put in any effort. You literally trip over those moments. Everything that feeds your flesh, your selfishness, your anger, your frustration, your lack of mercy, your lack of compassion, those moments are going to happen all the time, every single day. You don't ever have to go looking for it's like a food truck following you around. And that food truck has every greasy, salty, fried, sweet, sugary, empty calorie, indulgent thing you could ever want that feeds our fat, flabby, selfish, immature flesh and brings anemia and a lethargy and spiritual malnourishment. That's what follows us around all day long. You never need to go looking for your spiritual for your flesh to be fed and your spirit to be starved. But the spiritually rich things, right? The stuff that feeds your maturity, the stuff that challenges and pushes back and pokes and prods at your flesh, that starves your flesh of feeding its selfishness, the stuff that really nourishes us spiritually, that you actually have to go looking for, that you actually have to pursue, that you actually have to go find. The arguments that you can get involved in and say your piece and make sure everybody understands what you stand on it, hundreds and hundreds of those opportunities a day, readily available, easy to find, plentiful. You're going to find 100 of those fights any given day, anywhere you go. But if you want to see peace, you're going to actually have to, you see, the flesh is the path of least resistance, but you have to go looking for peace. Listen to what Psalms 34:14 says. Stop doing evil. Stop feeding your flesh. Stop going after the easy things. Stop indulging in what feeds your flesh and do good. And here's what doing good is. Look for peace and work for it. That's the good thing. So in the conflict online and the conflict with your family and the conflict in your marriage and the fights that are going on social media and the fights all around you and the fights and conversations that you have and all of this tension and the stuff that's going on around you, stop and look for peace in there and then work to bring out peace in that moment. Third and finally is this: all my work towards peace will pay off as long as I remind myself that I can't perfect what I won't practice. I can't perfect what I won't practice. The whole law is made complete. This is Galatians 5, 14 through 15. The whole law. This is Paul speaking, by the way, and he's referring to ancient scripture, which is the law of Moses, right? We call it Mosaic law. The whole law is made complete in this one command: love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you go on hurting each other and tearing each other apart, be careful or you'll completely destroy each other. Paul said this, that everything in ancient scripture, every law God ever established, everything God ever commanded us to do, and I say us as an extension of Israel, everything that God called the Israelites to do can be summarized in this completion of the law, which is love your neighbor as yourself. So hundreds of years in God giving law to man, and it can all be boiled down to love your neighbor as yourself. And then Paul goes on to say, you all know that. And he said, you're doing a terrible job of fulfilling that. He said, if you keep tearing each other apart, if you keep going after each other, if you keep gnawing and biting and backstabbing each other, you're literally going to destroy each other. And it all comes from this position that we've got to establish our emotional or moral or mental superiority to somebody else. We feel that we have to let somebody know how wrong they are and how right we are. And Paul said, you're going to absolutely destroy each other. If you listen to the way we talk to each other today, unbelievers, and sadly, there is no difference in the way believers talk to people or about people or to each other. If you look at the way we talk to each other, we have perfected the culture of shaming people whom we disagree with. All over the goal of making sure that they understand they're wrong and we're right and we've got the scripture to prove it and we've got the moral position to prove it, instead of setting our goal to be meeting conflict and disagreement with peace and respect. If you look at Jesus, he literally never attacked anyone except the religious people who felt like they were superior to everyone else. The church is not only guilty of the cancel culture, the church is kind of the pioneers of the cancel culture. As soon as somebody stepped out of line, man, historically, we've been a body of people that go after those who have fallen, who are weaker, who are not as mature, who haven't developed their proper perspective on something or the maturity in a particular area. But listen to me, scripture annoyingly reminds us that we've got to get this right. And the way we get it right is recognize that we aren't always right, that we're often wrong. And our job is to not take the place of the Holy Spirit and go after people to prove that they're wrong and that we're right. Our pursuit should be unity and peace, over winning the fight and proving each other wrong. Listen to what Hebrews 12, 14 says. This is where we end. In every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition. Let me say it again. In every relationship, be swift, be quick to choose peace over competition. Competition meaning trying to win the argument, trying to prove yourself right and them wrong, and run swiftly towards holiness, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Holiness is being set apart for God's purposes. Ask yourself in the middle of an argument, how would God use you in this minute? How would God use you in this second? How would God use you in this vacuum in which you have somebody's attention, in which you're reaching out to them through text, through email, through social media? What is God trying to say to them through you? And I promise you, you would delete 95% of your text, emails, conversations, social media posts, because I don't think God gets glory in all of the kind of messy conflict that we get ourselves into. The Bible calls them vain arguments. You and I are peacekeepers. We're bringers of peace. Peace is the confidence in our identity and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I pray over you? And then we're going to close in prayer over all of our kids that are promoting. Father, thank you for this moment that we've got together as a church. Thank you, God, for this congregation who puts themselves in the path of growth that bumps into our own difficulties, shortcomings, and failures and sinfulness. And we don't ignore it. We don't pass over it. We fight it. We wrestle it. And we come out better because of it, God, because we want truth to guide us through all of this, not our flesh, not our feelings, not our own opinions, but we want your holy truth to move us through this season. And God, you are surrounding us with difficulty, and I am thankful for it because it's pushing us to know ourselves better. More importantly, it's pushing us to know you better and to live inside that truth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So on our on-site campus, we are asking parents to stand up with their kids who are promoting, kindergartners that are promoting into first grade, fifth graders that are promoting into middle school, middle schoolers promoting up into high school, and high schoolers that are graduating and promoting up into our young adults. And we're going to ask you to do that at home. If you have kids with you there that kind of fit into one of those categories, they're getting to make a ministry shift at Summit. And we want to pray over them. We want to pray God's favor, and we want to pray for a new season of growth and learning and challenging them to be more of the men and women of God that He's creating them to be under your care, under your parenting, and under our partnership with you in Summit's ministries. So if you will, right there in your family room, your kitchen, wherever it is you're watching this, maybe even in the car, that you'll reach and grab their hand. And we want to pray for them. Father, you have a special place in your heart for kids. Your scripture is filled with warnings that we should not step in the way of the growth and the health and the safety of our kids, that we should be protectors of them, that we should see them as an inheritance from you, and we do. And for those littlest ones, for those kindergartners who are getting ready to go into a new season of exploring relationships and friendships and learning at a different level, who are starting to mature in ways they haven't before, for those fifth graders who are getting to emerge into the introduction into their teen years, they're kind of in those preteen years, and they're going to start sort of exploring what it looks like to have to stand for their faith. For those middle schoolers who are wanting to be out of middle school and get into high school, but God, I pray that you would protect their hearts and their minds against so many of the pressures that come at that age. And then, of course, our high schoolers who are ready to emerge into adulthood and start taking on more responsibility and more independence. But God, let their independence be from their childhood, but not from you. Let them pursue you even harder as the pressures and the difficulties of adulthood start to set in and they start emerging. For each one of those age groups, God, I pray your favor, your protection, your blessing. And now I pray for parents, God, that they would have the wisdom and the words to guide and lead and pastor their kids inside their home in their moments of influence with their kids, that they would be the voice of the Holy Spirit, bringing confidence and strength and peace and assurance to their kids as they emerge into that next season of their life. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We love you. Please reach out this week if you need anything at all from us, and we're going to be there for you guys. God bless you.